Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing in response to the greeting of the Lord from Psalm 26, the verses 2 and 5. Lord, test my heart and mind. And we don't have an organist this afternoon, so we will do it without. Psalm 26, verse 2 and verse 5. Lord, test my heart and mind. Together with the Church of All Times and Places, profess our undoubted Catholic Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed by singing hymn 1. Let us now pray. Our Father in heaven, Almighty God, on the afternoon of this day, this first day of the week, the day of rest, we come before you. We humble ourselves before you, and we give thanks to you that we can come here again. It is your love and your grace that you bring us together. It is the work of your Holy Spirit who works in our hearts, that by true faith we come here to listen to the preaching of your word. Father, give us then that we may be strengthened and encouraged by the preaching, and bless the preaching and work with your Holy Spirit so that we may be filled with the joy of faith, and that we may be renewed by your Spirit to live the new life which we receive from you. Father, help us then to resist all evil, all that can distract our attention, that we may be focused on your word, that we may listen attentively, and that in this all we may praise and glorify you, also when we respond to your word in our worship. Father, we receive all this as our sacrifice of thankfulness. And will you build us up, each and every one of us, in our faith and us as your church as well. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you may now give your sacrifices of thankfulness to the Lord. Your offerings are for Fairhaven. And then thereafter, we sing from Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2, after you have given your sacrifices. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, let us now read from God's word from Psalm 119, verse 1 to 24. And this afternoon I proclaim to you the word of God as is summarized by the church in Lordship 33, which is about the true repentance or conversion of men. So in connection with that, we will now first read from Psalm 119, verse 1 to 24. Then we read the word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So far from Psalm 119. Let us now also read from our confessions, from the Belgic Confession, Article 24. Article 24, that's page 508 of our Book of Praise. In Article 24, about our sanctification and good works, there we read what the Church confesses. We believe that this true faith worked in men by the hearing of God's word, and by the operation of the Holy Spirit, regenerates him and makes him a new man. It makes him live a new life and frees him from the slavery of sin. Therefore, it is not true that this justifying faith makes men indifferent to living a good and holy life. On the contrary, without it, no one would ever do anything out of love for God, but only out of self-love or fear of being condemned. It is therefore impossible for this holy faith to be inactive in man, for we do not speak of an empty faith, but of what Scripture calls faith working through love. This faith induces man to apply himself to those works which God has commanded in his word. These works, proceeding from the good root of faith, are good and acceptable in the sight of God, since they are all sanctified by his grace. Nevertheless, they do not count toward our justification. For through faith in Christ, we are justified even before we do any good works. Otherwise, they could not be good any more than the fruit of a tree can be good unless the tree itself is good. Therefore, we do good works, but not for merit. For what could we merit? We are indebted to God rather than he to us for the good works we do. Since it is he who works in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Let us keep in mind what is written, so you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done what was our duty. Meanwhile, we do not deny that God rewards good works, but it is by his grace that he crowns his gifts. Furthermore, although we do good works, we do not base our salvation on them. We cannot do a single work that is not defiled by our flesh and does not deserve punishment. Even if we could show one good work, the remembrance of one sin is enough to make God reject it. We would then always be in doubt, tossed to and fro without any certainty, and our poor consciences would be constantly tormented if they did not rely on the merit of the death and passion of our Savior. So far from the confessions. Let us now sing together from Psalm 119, the verses 7 and 8. Let us now read Lord's Day 33 of the Heidelberg Catechism. In Lord's Day 33, there we read what the Church confesses as summary of God's Word. What is the true repentance or conversion of man? It is the dying of the old nature and the coming to life of the new. What is the dying of the old nature? It is to grieve with heartfelt sorrow that we have offended God by our sin, and more to hate it and flee from it. What is the coming to life of the new nature? It is a heartfelt joy in God through Christ, and a love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. But what are good works? Only those which are done out of true faith, in accordance with the law of God, and to his glory. And not those based on our own opinion or on precepts of men. Brothers and sisters, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, throughout the history of the Church, there's a lot to do about good works. Why do we do good works. It started already in the first century of the Christian church after the ascension of Christ. We can read in the letters of Paul that Paul had to fight against the idea that it is by good works that we are saved. The Jews, the Christians from the Jews, spread around the doctrine that, yes, believers from the Gentiles could become part of God's people, but they still had to fulfill the law of Moses. They had to be circumcised, they had to keep all the laws, the regulations of Moses. Paul rejected that even in very strong words to the Galatians when he says to them, "O foolish Galatians." And he rejects this righteousness by the law. We see that continuing throughout the church history. And if you know church history, you may probably also know Pelagius, who said that man, that little child when it is born, is like a blank page, and it only sins because it gets a bad example. But if it would get a good example, it could do good works, and it could earn its salvation. And then later in the Roman Catholic Church, the whole doctrine of good works is being developed, against which the reformers had to fight, which they rejected. But when they rejected that doctrine, they got the accusation of the Roman Catholic Church, well, you reformers, you make people careless and wicked. That's also what Lawsuit 24 addresses. And also Article 24 about the confession. It does not make men indifferent. This faith does not make men indifferent to good works. No, it is the other way around. This faith is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit works faith in you, and with that he works a new life in you. And with that he works the repentance or conversion of men, so that you are going to do good works. So the Reformed doctrine, the biblical doctrine, maintains over against the Roman Catholic Church that good works are done out of thankfulness. Good works are done because we have received the new life. They are the result of the new life. They are not a condition for new life, but the result of new life. And good works also have to be done out of joy, out of thankfulness. We like to do, we love to do good works. It's not that we, out of fear for losing our salvation, are going to do good works, as the Roman Catholics in the time of the Reformation emphasized. No, it is because we are so thankful for our salvation that we don't want to do anything else than to live in accordance with God's commandments, that we love God's commandments, as David said in Psalm 119. And that's a gospel that comes to us, that was rediscovered by the Reformation, that comes to us in the Word of God and is summarized by the Church in Lord's Day 33, and I proclaim it to you this afternoon under this theme: the true repentance or conversion of men, in the first place, is the result of faith, in second place, is done out of love for God's law, and third, is aimed at God's glory. The true repentance or conversion of man, in the first place, is the result of faith. The words repentance or being born again or sanctification, these words are being used interchangeably. The one prefers to speak about being born again, the other speaks about conversion, the third speaks about repentance. Being born again comes from John 3, where the Lord Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and speaks about someone has to be born again. And Nicodemus doesn't understand it, and he asks how that must happen. Must someone go into the womb again? And then the Lord Jesus says to him, well, you are the teacher of Israel, and you don't know it? Being born again is starting a new life. The Lord Jesus compares it here to being born. Being born is passive. Being born again is the work of the Holy Spirit. Is also passive. We must be born again. It is not our own work. It is God's work in us. God takes the initiative. God starts that new life in us. Just like with our own birth, our first birth. It is something that we do not determine. It is all on God's time. The Holy Spirit works this rebirth in us. We do not see him. As the Lord explains in John 3, it's like the wind. You do not see him, but you hear him. And the work of regeneration is something that we cannot see how it happens. It is worked by the Holy Spirit, by the preaching of God's word. We confess in Lawsuit 25 and also Romans 10. Faith is by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Can we exactly say when we are born again? Can you say at which moment you were born again? Most often we cannot. The Holy Spirit works. We do not know from where he comes and where he goes, but we see his work. And when we see his work, then we will know that he is there. If there is faith, it cannot be anything else than the work of the Holy Spirit. And we will notice that faith. When exactly did you have faith? Well, most of you probably don't know. But you came to the point that you concluded, I do have faith, and now I want to profess my faith. Our children also can say, I believe in Jesus Christ. You have that faith. When did it come? The Holy Spirit worked it in you, but we don't know exactly when. Some people can mention it, like Paul on the way to Damascus, but most often we cannot mention it. We cannot see it. We don't know how the Spirit works, when he works, and where he works, but we can conclude from the result that he works. And in this, we are different. The Reformed doctrine differs from what the Evangelicals and Arminians teach. They believe that faith, for a part, comes from themselves. They are the ones who make the decision to believe. Yeah, they also believe that the faith is worked by the Holy Spirit, but it becomes their own once they make that decision. And then you can pinpoint a certain moment in time as the point where you made the decision. But that's not so what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that the Spirit works in us. We don't know, we don't see him working, but we know that he works when we see that there is faith. But then when the Spirit works after our rebirth, then we become active. That is like a little baby when it is just born. It starts crying, it starts breathing, drinking, growing. It becomes more and more active, and it learns more and more things. And after our rebirth, we also become active. We breathe. That means we have contact with God. We pray to God. We eat. We eat the Word of God. We grow in faith, and so on. And then we also bring forth fruits of faith. We repent from our evil works. We stop doing what was wrong now that we have faith. We know that it is wrong, and therefore we fight against it. But without being born again, without the working of the Spirit, there will be no repentance. Then we will continue in our life, because then we don't even see why we need to repent. And being born again, that will result in repentance. So that makes clear that we cannot separate these two. Being born again is the work of the Spirit, but then repent is our own work. And our own work comes with the work of the Spirit. We cannot separate that. And that's what we read in Article 24, the first part of the article, where we read, it is not true that this justifying faith makes man indifferent to living a good and holy life. On the contrary, without it, no one would ever do anything out of love for God. So it is first the work of the Holy Spirit, but then, being born again, we are going to work. This justifying faith does not make man indifferent to living a good and holy life. It puts man to work. A good tree will yield good fruit. So, brothers and sisters, real conversion is worked in us by God through the Holy Spirit. It cannot come from ourselves, because we are dead in sin. And the Lord also teaches that to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37. That is that vision with the valley of the dead bones. And God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. And then God tells him to prophesy to the bones. And then God made those bones alive. There came meat on the bones, and then skin covered the flesh. And those bones, they became bodies, and he stood up. How is that possible? If you go to a cemetery and start preaching to the graves, to the bodies in the graves, nothing will happen. And you know that. But when the Spirit comes and preaches through Ezekiel to the valley of dead bones, then life comes. The Spirit is the giver of life. If the dead come to life, then you know that it is not their own work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is what happens to us when we are being called to life, from death to life. But then after we come to life, then we don't remain like dead. Those dead bodies did not remain lying in the valley, even after they were called to life. We don't remain passive when we are being brought to life. And when our Lord Jesus Christ, for instance, raised Lazarus from the dead in John 11, then he called Lazarus to come out of the grave. And Lazarus listened. And he did come out. And when God brings us to life through the Spirit, then we will obey him and do what he tells us to do now that we have received the new life. And this new life will grow. It will blossom. It will become more and more visible in us. And that are the good works which we do, which are the result of the new life. Our old life, that was our old nature, did by nature things that were against God's will. We were inclined to hate God and our neighbor. And that is eternal death, hating God and our neighbor. We were dead in sin. But Christ came to make us alive. And now that our new life begins through the Spirit, and a new nature comes to life. Now by nature we will more and more love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind. And we will love our neighbor as ourselves. So if people say, I'm a sinner so I can't help it, then that is not right. We are sinners by nature, but the Holy Spirit calls us to life so that we are no longer sinners, even though from time to time we do sin, but we do not continue in sin. We are not by nature sinners. So that contrast between old life and new life becomes more and more clear with every day. We live in a world in which it is so easy to sin. We see it all around us. We see it even happening in the church, even among us. People who continue to sin. People who have to be called to repentance, maybe even in their own life, that we continue in certain sins from which we have to repent and we have to fight against those sins. But when we really are being called to life by the Spirit, then we see the beginning of that new life, which becomes more and more clear in our lives, that things are going to change, that we do break with certain sins, with all sins, but that we see that things are changing in our lives, that we are going to be different, that we are going to live more and more in love for our neighbor. And the more we come to life, the more we will be different from this world, from the sinners living around us. And this repentance or conversion of man is a great miracle. The canons of Dort speak about it in chapters 3, 4, article 12. And then we read that according to scripture, inspired by the author of this work, regeneration is not inferior in power to creation or the raising of the dead. Hence, all those in whose hearts God works in this amazing way are certainly, unfailingly, and effectually regenerated and do actually believe. And then the will so renewed is not only acted upon and moved by God, but acted upon by God, the will itself also acts. Therefore, man himself is rightly said to believe and repent through the grace he has received. So repentance brings about a total change of life, a totally different life, a new creation, a raising from the dead, as the canons of Dort say. And that shows how radical it is, brothers and sisters. That is not something we can do on our own. That is something that only the Holy Spirit can work in us. But we must not forget that the Holy Spirit uses the means of the preaching of the Word of God to work that in us. Faith is worked through the preaching of the Word of God. But then after, faith is also strengthened by the preaching of the Word of God. And therefore, once we believe, we should never stop listening to the preaching of the Word of God. And therefore, we come together every week again on Sundays, even two times on Sundays. We need the preaching. We listen to the preaching to be strengthened. And we are blessed also now in our time that we may have the whole Bible. Everyone can have a printed copy of the Bible. Everyone can have a Bible at home. Imagine how that was in the time before the Reformation. In the Middle Ages, they did not have the printing presses. They did not have printed Bibles, and every Bible had to be copied by hand, and that took quite some time. It was quite expensive, and not every family could afford a Bible. And then the printing presses came, and the Reformation came, and the Bible was translated in language of the people, and was printed and spread everywhere. What a riches for the people that they could read the Bible! We often don't realize how rich we are that we have the Bible. For the longest time in history, that was not possible. Even in the time of the Old Testament, many of the Jews, of the Israelites, did not have the Law of Moses. They could not read it, and therefore they went to the synagogue every week to hear it, and every week it was read in the synagogue. Now we live in the blessed circumstances that we all have several copies of the Bible readily available to us. And if it is not a printed copy, then on our smartphones, our computers, or other electronic means, so that we can put it in our pockets and we can take it with us wherever we go. What a blessing. Brothers and sisters, now that God provides us with these abundant blessings, let us not take them for granted, but use them and read the Bible, study the Bible. There are so many moments in our lives that we have to wait. You have to wait for this, you have to wait for that. If you have an appointment with a doctor or a dentist, you have to wait. You have to wait so many times during the day. So many times that we have a few minutes or even more that we have nothing to do. Why not take your Bible and read? Even if it is only a few minutes. Certainly if you have it on your phone, it's so easy to do. Read the Bible. Memorize texts, one a day. Meditate on it. Apply it. The Bible, that is how the Spirit works faith in us. He strengthens faith in us. And the more we know the Bible, the more our faith will grow. And the more our faith will grow, the more we will love God's commandments, because we see that they are good. So often we only have just a beginning of that new life and that new obedience. It still has to grow so much, and it still has so much potential to grow. We are so often content with our faith just being like a mustard seed, while this mustard seed can and should germinate and grow into a huge plant which gets noticed and is a blessing for so many in his creation. Is that what we want? Well, that is what we should want. Faith, regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit. But that does not mean that we can remain passive. Our faith will grow, will be strengthened by the reading of the Bible. And the Holy Spirit works in us, but he does not work without us. We can contribute to the growth of our faith by reading the Bible. And then the Holy Spirit puts us to work more and more. The more we read the Bible, the more we know what God's will is for our lives. And we want to do what God's will is for our lives. So the work of the Spirit in us becomes our own work. And faith will grow and blossom and result in a wonderful new life full of good works. And that brings us to our second point. The true repentance or conversion of man is done out of love for God's law. The Catechism speaks about good works as those which are done out of true faith in accordance with the law of God. Well, talking about laws and rules is not very popular in our time. Laws are often seen as limiting freedom. And if laws serve a purpose, people are willing to submit to the law as long as it helps them. But if people don't understand the reason of the law, or if it doesn't help them, then they don't care. Or they even dare to challenge the laws in court. There is not much willingness in our society to obey the law. And even if we do see the reason for a law, we still do not always like to obey the law. Someone who is speeding in traffic will slow down when he sees a police car. And when someone is killed in an accident and speeding was an issue, then the whole world is upset and hopes that the one who caused the accident will be punished. But so often when there is no police and we have the opportunity, we don't mind speeding ourselves. Or often when we are in a hurry and we see the light change from green to orange, often we are not inclined to stop. But on the contrary, we speed up a little bit so that we can still go through before it turns red. But do we realize that traffic lights are necessary and are intended to keep traffic safe? But usually we want others to abide by the law, and for ourselves it is different. Well, and that is what we often see with the law of God as well. So often we start pointing our finger if we see others committing sin. Well, that is wrong and you shouldn't be doing that. And we all have our opinion about that. We know exactly what is wrong with this world. We know exactly why abortion and homosexuality is wrong. And we are indignant and upset with this world because of it. Or we see our brothers and sisters in church committing certain sins and we can rail against it and complain to the consistory and to others. But do we look at our own lives in the same manner? Are we just as critical if it comes to our own bad habits, the sins of our tongue, or our arrogance, our looking down on others, feeling ourselves better than others, our pride, our envy? Well, if you look at our lives critically, if you look at those things, are we really more critical to our own life than the life of others? That shows that we also have only a small beginning of the new obedience. And we still have a long way to go. To say that we keep the law out of love, well, often that's an overstatement in our lives. And how come? God teaches us in the Bible that His laws are good, and they are meant to be a blessing for our lives. And also that if we really love God with all our heart and soul and mind, then we shall also delight in His law. We read it in Psalm 119. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. And your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And when we read through this entire psalm, we read the first 24 verses, but if you read through the entire psalm, we will see that the author of this psalm is very positive about the law of God. The law is not burdensome. It is not a hindrance for us. It is not a bother. On the contrary, meditating on God's law gives joy. And whenever the author experiences the ridicule or contempt of people around him, then he turns to God's law to find his delight and his joy again. And the law, where that is meant, the Torah, which were the five books of Moses, but now we can say it's the entire Bible. The entire Bible teaches us that life according to God's law is a blessing. It is good. It is our new life. Our new life is beautiful. And our new life is being described in the law of God, the Ten Commandments. This is how we shall live. This is how our new life looks like when it comes to completion, when we live in a new heaven and a new earth. And these Ten Commandments, they will be a perfect description of our new life. And therefore, if you don't love the Ten Commandments, you will not love the new life. But if you love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind, you will love His commandments and you will love to do what is good. And that is what the Spirit works in you when He works in your faith, by the preaching of the Word of God. And this is the way someone who has been born again by the Holy Spirit can and will speak about the law of God. In verse 23, Psalm 119, princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Every time when people from the world or even people from your own circle speak against you, they slander you or they say negative things about you, then the author of Psalm 119 said, your servant meditates on your statutes. Think about the Word of God. Meditate on God's Word, and that will give you joy. The law of God shows us the way of life, the way of our new life. The law shows us this is life as God created it and as God intended it. These commandments are good, and they can be summarized in the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourselves. love for the law of God that does not come natural, not from our old nature. The new life that does not come natural. If you continue in life, it does not automatically change into a new life. A new life is worked by the Holy Spirit. But then also, as we saw before, we are being put to work by the Spirit. Read the Word of God and pray. And if you don't have the love for the law of God, if you don't have the true wisdom of the law, then James says, pray for it. Pray. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God's own Son, Jesus Christ, came to fulfill what we could not do. Our sin and misery was that we were unable to keep the law of God. Christ took away our sin. He paid for all our sins. He also renews us through his word and spirit so that we are being reformed and renewed more and more into his image. He who loved God his Father even to the end when he was dying eternal death, and he who loved God's law even while he was on the cross, he did not give up his love for God and his love for God's law. It was the love for God's law that consumed him. And through that love, he defeated eternal death and the power of sin. And now that he was raised from the dead and we are being raised with him, now the Holy Spirit renews us so that we will follow him, fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. He leads us on the way to the glorious freedom of the children of God. That is the purpose of the law, that we live in the freedom of God's children, that glorious freedom. Christ has set us free from the power of sin. Now let us remain free and not turn back to evil and sin again. And that is why we got the law for, to remain free. And that brings us to our third and last point. True repentance or conversion of man is aimed at God's glory. When we live in the glorious freedom of the children of God, which is protected by the law of God, then we will always seek God's glory. Then we do not put ourselves in the first place. Then it is our highest desire to serve God and bring glory to him. A child will be proud when his father receives honor and glory. And if your father is famous, if your father is a famous person, everywhere adored, then you will be proud to be his child. Our glory depends on God's glory. Our glory is a reflection of God's glory. And if it is not, if our glory is not a reflection of God's glory, then it will not remain, but it will be destroyed. It is just like the moon reflects the light of the sun. And without the sun, the moon would only be dark and would not be visible for us. So we also would be nothing and lie in eternal darkness if we were not God's children. And all the glory and beauty we receive and may enjoy is because Christ came to make us share in his glory and the glory of his Father. He set us free into the glorious freedom of God's children. And this teaches us, brothers and sisters, that we should not put these two over against each other. Seeking God's glory or seeking our own glory. It is important which of these two comes first. If we first seek our own glory, then we will be blinded by our own arrogance and we will no longer seek the glory of God. So if our own glory comes first, then that will fill us entirely and we will forget about God. But if we seek God's glory, and if God's glory comes first in our lives, and we always seek to serve him first, and are totally focused on his glory, then we may know that we may live in a radiant sunshine of his glory. That will come with it. Even though we're not even focused on it, it will come. God created us, and God created this entire creation for his glory. And that is the purpose of it all. Therefore, the only way in which we will fulfill our purpose, the purpose for which we were created, is by glorifying God. Something that is not doing what it was made for. It is broken. If one of your tools or appliances is not doing what it is made for, it is broken. What do you do with it? You don't let it stand there waiting for it to start working again. No, you throw it out. Something that is broken will not receive praise. It will be thrown out and destroyed. If we do not fulfill our purpose for which God created us and for which he now again redeemed us, then there is nothing left for us than to be thrown out into eternal darkness. But thanks to Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are being renewed through his Spirit, and we are being made able again to function properly to the glory of God as God created us. He makes known to us what the purpose is of our lives, and he also enables us to do what we are created for, to bring praise and glory to God. And that is the real repentance or conversion of man, of us human beings, that we are being restored in our position as image of God, so that we are able again to praise and glorify God in all our thoughts, all our words, and all our deeds. Amen. Let us now sing together from Psalm 119, the verses 40 and 41. Let us now pray. Our Father in heaven, Almighty God, we praise your holy name. It is your wonderful work through which we may receive new life. You gave your Son to suffer and to die for our sins, so that we can be redeemed from the power of eternal death. He was raised from the dead, and we are raised with him to a new life through the working of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you and we praise you for that. And we praise you that you work in us that new life, that we may bear fruit, that we may live in joy and thankfulness before you, that we may live a life in good works, and that we may enjoy those good works. Father, will you work that in us through your Spirit more and more? We know that your law is good, but sometimes it is a struggle to live according to your law. Will you work in us that we may win that battle, that we may really find the joy of faith in doing good works, in living in love with our neighbor, in believing what is good and not always being distrusting, not always being negative, but being positive, by building up. Father, give us that we may constantly be focused on that, to do what is good, to live in love, love for our neighbor, love which covers over a multitude of sins. Father, you have taught us that if we love you, we will also love our neighbor, who is also created in your image. Father, be then with us our entire life. Bless us in all that we do. And use what we do that may help to build your kingdom, maybe to the glory of your name. Father, will you then work in us? Will you work in your church so that your word may spread all over this earth? And that people around us may see us, may hear your word, hear about it, and that they also may come and join us in worshiping you. Father, bless also the work of mission. And we thank you for the work that the brothers Eric De Haan and Brian Bosvat could do in Sumba. They traveled there and they could come back safely, and we thank you that the trip could go well and it was well received. Father, we continue to bless the work being done there. Bless the churches there. Bless our brothers and sisters that they also may stand firm in faith, and that they may continue to go in your ways, and that your word may be proclaimed there also, and that many may be reached with your gospel. Father, be with us this week. Help us in everything. Guide us through your word and spirit. Help us to do what is right and pleasing to you and to fight against all evil, whether it is in our daily work or in school or at home or our work in the church, whatever we do, that in everything we are focused on you and the glory of your name. Father, will you glorify yourself in our lives and in your church? We thank you that we could have this day of rest, this first day of the week on which we could come together in the church services, in which we could be encouraged and strengthened by the preaching of your word, in which we could also worship you in all that we did and do in this worship service. Father, receive then our worship as our sacrifice of thankfulness to you, and hear our prayer in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us now sing as our final song from Psalm 119, verse 42. Sisters, receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.